John Morosi joins us, MLB Network and Fox Sports. It says here, because I'm new, right, don't ask John hockey questions. No, I'm kidding.
No, I want, he gets one, it's obligatory, it's a contract thing. John, where have you been? You're supposed to ask me where I've been. I'm asking you where you've been. You don't call, you don't write. I fell off the face of the earth is flat. We've learned this from Draymond Green. Did you think I fell off it?
Well, I'll begin by saying, first of all, good morning, friends, new and old. Elliot, great to meet you. Mr. Brady, I've known and listened to you for years. Hugh, I covered the playoffs with in baseball years ago. So I know all of you guys now at this moment. And Elliot, of course, one of these days, my friend, we'll be talking about the return of the Expos. Not sure how soon, but it's going to happen eventually. So that is a future topic for us. But Greg, my friend, wonderful to be reunited with you.
Wonderful, yeah. Right. Well, and wait till Elliot gets bombarded with Michigan football takes by both of us in September, right?
Right now, I'd like the return of, like, real umpires watching Israel against Korea, the World Baseball Classic, and some horrendous calls. But I digress. You're with the Dominican. You're with the Dominican Republic right now. And we'll talk World Baseball Classic, but everyone has Brett Laurie on the tip of their tongue, and who knew that was going to be like 6 days ago, right?
Right, Elliot. Certainly a surprise. I did not see him getting released by the White Sox this spring. That was one of the more surprising cuts, I think, in any camp so far here this spring. And now, of course, the question comes, is he a fit for the Jays? And Jim Bowden reported this yesterday, that the Jays are interested. It would surprise me, I think, if Laurie wound back up in Toronto. I just think that right now, you look at the situation. The one reason why you could see it being conceivable is the lingering concern over Devin Travis, who is now injured for the second straight spring. He has yet to have an at-bat, and John Gibbons has voiced that maybe there's a little uncertainty about if Travis is going to be ready for opening day. So if there's still some uncertainty there, then I could maybe see it later in camp. But I really think it's really a question of the medicals there on Travis, because he is, guys, a really important player for the Jays. We all know this, but you look at the way that they have played when he's been healthy, they're a different team. And until he gets on the field, I'm going to call this a very nervous spring there in Dunedin for the Blue Jays.
Well, and I think we all can always overrate clubhouse chemistry, et cetera, but it does matter. And I think there was a leadership vacuum, John, the first time around when Laurie was here. So they had to bring in guys like Omar Vizquel and later Mark DeRosa. You know the Jays room now. It's Russ Martin, Troy Tulowitzki, and Josh Donaldson, and Brett Laurie. I bet you, if it were to happen, and I agree, I don't think it's happening. If it were to happen, he'd be a lot more seen and not heard. He'd be almost a quiet presence, believe it or not, in a Blue Jays clubhouse, unlike 2013 when he and J.P. Arencibia were kind of the noisemakers.
Right. Well, he would have to be, Greg, and then that's a very good point. And a couple things on that. Number one, he has not really had, his last year with Toronto, of course, it was 2014. He had an OPS plus of 103, meaning he was just barely above average. Since then, he's been below average the last 2 years. He batted just .248 last year, a career low. So he's not really coming into this spring, regardless of where he goes, with a whole lot of momentum. And we all know Brett's personality. Very high energy, okay? He makes me look sedate by comparison, okay? And so when you look at Laurie and you think about his disposition, how could he be as a part-time player that involves a lot of sitting potentially, where you're not playing for 2 or 3 days in a row? All that energy now, only playing twice a week, and I'm not being sillier, that's a legitimate thought. I think you see guys that are part-time players, they usually have a certain, the successful ones at least, have a certain way about them where they understand their role, they embrace it, they sort of stay at a low simmer, if you will, during the course of the week when their opportunities come around, and Brett's just not that type of guy. So I think it would be asking a lot of him to play on a part-time basis once Travis comes back. So I think for that reason, again, probably unlikely, but something we probably have to monitor until Travis comes back.
It is 7:37. It's the starting lineup. Brady and Price, Sportsnet 590. The Fan with John Morosi from MLB Network and Fox Sports. I had an opinion on the subject, and I heard opposing. Dalton Pompeo, okay, so he's playing for Canada at the WBC, and I thought, now, the Blue Jays will not be able to control how often he gets out there, where he bats in the lineup, and that's not in their best interest. And yet I heard from the Blue Jays camp, it might have been from the manager saying, no, here's an opportunity for him to get out there a whole lot more, stay in games, and get more ABs. And your thoughts on this are what?
I'm the latter, Elliot. I think it's a great opportunity for Pompey. First and foremost, he has spoken publicly in reports here recently about just how badly he has wanted to play in the WBC. This is a really huge honor for him, of course, from Mississauga. He's wanted to play in this tournament, and he's going to be Team Canada's everyday center fielder in this tournament. So far this spring, only 9 at-bats with the Jays. We all know Pilar likely to be the center fielder there for the Jays this season, but I think it's a great opportunity for him. I think that, obviously, you look at the outfield right now, and unless something happens with Pierce not being able to throw, which is one more injury situation, I think, to watch with the Jays there in left field. Or if Upton continues to struggle, probably not an opportunity for Pompey to play every day with the Jays. But let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see if he has a big WBC for Team Canada. I really think, Elliot, and I've heard the sort of both schools of thought on this in the past about players that are on the bubble for a roster. We saw with Chris Colabello, frankly, with Team Italy 4 years ago. I think if you're able to come into the WBC with as passionate of an environment as it is, as many eyeballs are on this thing all around the world, to me, I learn way more about a player in this tournament than I do watching him play before 2,000 people in an afternoon in Kissimmee, Florida, or someplace like that. I just think you learn a lot more about your players this way. Pompey has a chance to be one of the more established offensive everyday players on Team Canada because of the absence of guys like Martin and Saunders and Votto. So they're going to look to him, and he's now going to be in really a position, guys, where Dalton Pompey is looked upon it as a veteran leader for probably one of the first times in his baseball career at the professional level. So I think it's a great opportunity for him. He's going to be a key guy for Team Canada. I really think it's a win-win all the way around.
Is the only name really that people are asking about with Team USA? I mean, it'd be nice if Josh Donaldson played. It'd be nice of a couple other guys who are perennial all-stars played, but is the only name that constantly comes up where people ask you about it is it Mike Trout? And I know he said he's open to playing again in 4 years. Well, a lot can happen in 4 years, but sure. Trout just says it's not injury related, it's not about spring training, I just didn't want to go. I mean, is he taking any bullets for that?
Well, Greg, it's a great question. It's a very interesting topic because here in the States, frankly, we're still getting to the point where enough people will care deeply about the tournament to really get upset about the fact that Trout's not playing. I think we're still on that continuum, not quite there yet, where it's a big topic. I think he said his piece about it. I think people understand that he's not going to play. Personally, I would love to see him in the tournament, and it bums me out a little bit that he's not playing, but it is what it is. And again, it's no different than it was 4 years ago. But to your question, you're right. On the position player side, it really is him. And he's the one major absence. Harper, based on his performance last year, I'm not convinced he would have been ahead of someone like a Christian Yelich or a Stanton or a McCutcheon or Jones in the outfield. On the pitching side, though, I think that is the concern. And Kershaw, of course, everybody wanted to see him. He's not going to pitch. In fact, you look at the top five finishers in each league's Cy Young race, the top five Americans, so 10 guys, none of them are in this tournament. So that's a question on the pitching side of things. But that being said, Team USA's rotation, I think, should be good. Archer is probably going to pitch the opener. Tanner Roark, a very solid, steady pitcher there for the Nationals. Danny Duffy probably will pitch against Canada, usually start the lefty against Canada because of all the lefties in the lineup. And then Stroman, I believe, will either pitch the tiebreaker of that first-round pool if the U.S. needs it on that Monday, so a week from today, or he'll start the first game in San Diego of the second round. So Stroman, who, as we've seen, has looked fantastic. I thought his outing yesterday for the Jays was excellent. His secondary stuff I thought was very sharp. I saw him use a changeup to strike out a lefty batter, which was a great sign. So I think that the pitchers they've got, Greg, are ready. My one concern for the U.S. is middle relief. They don't really have those guys that can go multiple innings in the middle of the game, which you sometimes need in tournament baseball. But for the most part, I think it's the best roster the U.S. has had the WBC. And the position player I'm most excited about right now is Nolan Arenado. I believe he's one of the best five position players in the world, and I think it's really has a chance for him to be really an emerging tournament for him because, of course, playing in Colorado, Mountain Time Zone, no playoffs for him yet in his major league career, I think this can really be a huge coming-out party there for Nolan Arenado.
All right. John Morosi from MLB and Fox Sports. We got 2 minutes here. David Price, he was done. He was going to see the bad doctor, and then things not so bad. Where do we stand with this guy now?
Well, he's still going to rest for another week or so and have the rest of the medication for Price. But the Red Sox are not yet saying definitively that he's going to miss opening day. I would say if you have a setback and you're not really getting in games until the middle of March, at the very absolute earliest, again, you're probably going to start the season on the DL. But David seemed, again, according to his comments to reporters this week, it was sort of a best-case scenario for the way things went a few days ago when he returned to Red Sox camp in Fort Myers. So at least avoiding the season-ending surgery for now. But I think, Elliot, it's important to point out, you look at the rest of the Red Sox rotation, they've got Pomeranz, who had some injury issues last year, as did Stephen Wright. So I think the Red Sox are not entirely out of the woods here from the standpoint of their rotation questions. And again, David Price coming off a rough year last year, he needed a great spring, I think, at least from a health standpoint, to just get his legs back under him and get feeling good again in Boston. So I think there are still a lot of questions there for the Red Sox, whereas I think you'd have to say the best rotation in the division, based on the Price uncertainty, still belongs to the Jays. And I think that they've been very creative with the way they've backed off of basically every starter with the exception of Stroman this spring. I think they're in a good place after having the really two longer seasons in a row. I like what they've done, and I think Latos now is a good backup option for them. So I think the Jays right now have to feel good about where the rotation is, and I think still some nervousness there with the Red Sox until they really see Price get back on the mound and be healthy and pitch well.
John Morosi, MLB Network. Great to be reunited again. I can't wait to watch you and Elliot at Rogers Center like break down like old Mark Langston, the old Mark Langston trade, and Randy Johnson from the Spos. It'll just invigorate me. I won't even need a coffee after that in April.
I'm excited, guys, and I can't wait. Hopefully we'll see two more sellouts there at the Big O. And Elliot, my friend, I'll keep you posted. I'm telling you, Montreal baseball is, much like Michigan football, a passion of mine, my friend. So we will not be undercovered in that regard on this radio program.
Yes. Great talking to you, John.